Do you think now with COVID, people have changed their buying habits a little bit and maybe they're cooking a little more at home? What have you noticed?
Yeah, I think so, because, you know, you're not really going out to restaurants. And I mean, that's sort of a double-edged sword because those restaurants employ people. You know, so I do feel bad about that, you know, but people are eating at home more. The thing that was unfortunate, though, is when COVID first hit, everybody was buying packaged foods.
Right.
They were preparing. They're like, oh my God, it's the apocalypse. And so they were buying
pancakes.
Food. Yeah, pancakes. We'll thrive on pancakes and SpaghettiOs. And
it was like, you know, Christmas, right? It was like, let's eat the way we do at Christmas. Let's buy all the bacon. Let's buy the eggs. Let's buy the pancakes, the waffles. The shelves were empty of those things, right?
Yeah, and then the toilet paper that you're going to need afterwards.
Yeah, so, right.
So I think in the beginning, people are like, holy crap, we've got to stock up. And, you know, but I think over time, people are like, hey, you know what? I think I'm just going to learn to cook some things. So I do think that's sort of the upside of, you know, of the pandemic is, I mean, this can sound a little crazy, but I think that there's a lot of upsides to it. I think it's galvanized people. I think that, you know, people are like, okay, we have to take control over this because obviously, our government does not have a handle on this. If we don't have testing and we don't have a plan on opening schools, that's like, what? We don't have a plan. And so I do think that from that perspective, it's galvanized people because now we're like, hey, you know what? This won't stand. We demand a plan. That's what we're paying you for. So maybe the roles have reversed a little bit from our, you know, some of our government officials thinking that, you know, the people work for them and bringing it back to where it's supposed to be, where our government works for us. So find us a cure. Get us a plan on how to open schools. Teach us how to cook, you know, teach us how to take care of ourselves. This is what you guys are getting paid for. If you, you know, if you find that you can't do it, well, we'll help you find a different career path. So,
yeah, I think that, I mean, I have seen it, like, and I've seen this in my family and my friends and just my circle of people is, and one thing I thought from the beginning is like, people don't know what the hell they're doing. Like, what is happening with this pandemic? How long is this going to take? Why are we the last country almost to get our act together around it? And I was just telling my family, look, you guys all need to we need to be collective in this and make our own choices. We need to be healthy. And then like, you know, with people being sick, it's like boost your immunity, exercise, like do all these things. But I've been just telling everybody, like, take control over this, quit waiting. And that's just a part about life anyway, is like, just quit waiting for other people to make decisions for you, right? Mm-hmm. Make the ones you feel are best and are going to empower you to get through this in the safest way possible.
Yeah, 100%. It's like, take yourself out of the victim mentality.
Right.
Like, you know what? I mean, yeah, is the virus bad? Virus is bad, obviously, you know, but do the things that it requires to protect yourself and protect others. And honestly, one of the most beautiful things that I've seen out of this is, you know, younger people. So when you look at the, you know, Gen Y and millennials wearing the masks, you know, they don't need to wear those masks.
Right.
And they're doing that to protect older people. And I'm like, hey,
like us.
Yeah, it's like they're trying not to kill us. And it's beautiful when I see everybody doing their part, wearing their mask, washing their hands, social distancing, you know, particularly when you fall into a demographic where you really don't need to do it because your chances of actually mortality, you know, from COVID are so low, like less than 0.1%. But they're doing it to protect us. And for that, I am grateful.
We will send our gratitude to all those youngins.
100%.
Yeah. And I also love, you know, you're talking about the positives of it. People being able to kind of regroup. Like, I feel like it's not a bad thing that we've had to reset. Like, yes, there are lots of negatives, and I am I'm not talking about the people who are going through hardships or any of that, right? But for people who have used this opportunity to ground themselves, to reset, to evaluate like what's important to them, what are their priorities, it's forced us to kind of take a step back, and it kind of goes back to your journaling too a little bit, being a little more introspective and not getting so caught up in all the external things that go on in our lives that pull us away from our health and doing things that are good for us and good for people. And, you know, that's part of it. And then I just also feel grateful that there's a certain part of the population also where they start getting like intolerant and frustrated, and you see that coming out in people too. And so I'm just like everybody, take a breath, ground yourself, stay heart-centered. Look at, you never know what's going on with other people, right? In their lives. Right. And so that I just love. And I know that you are that kind of person, but it's just that kind of, you know, mutual kind of look at people and just recognizing that a lot of people are going through hard times and we need to be extra patient and extra caring, right? To ourselves and others.
Yeah, 100%. There's not enough grace and love in the world. And if this is a catalyst for us to be able to have more grace for one another and more love for one another, I'm all for it, you know. But I mean, another factor too is like when you look at the mortality rate of COVID, right? In almost across the board, like over 90% of the people that that die from COVID have underlying conditions, right? Mm-hmm. And so the majority of those underlying conditions are metabolic. So that is a huge thing because, you know, I do talk to a lot of PhDs and a lot of doctors, and, you know, across the board, it's like when I talk to them, they're like, this is really your chances of dying are greater if you are suffering from some sort of a metabolic condition, because what happens is your body goes into what's called a cytokine storm. And a cytokine storm is cytokines or proteins that exist in your body, right? And so if you have something come up like a scratch or, you know, an infection, your body releases these cytokines into that area to create inflammation, to protect the area. So when you are already in a state of inflammation, right, because of, you know, of a metabolic condition, you are ripe for a cytokine storm. And that is what kills you. The disease doesn't kill you. Your body kills you because you go into a cytokine storm. It gets into your lungs. You start developing a ton of mucus in your lungs, and then your lungs just brick up. Mm-hmm. And that is, if you want to stay healthy and you want to make it through this, then eat foods, develop the lifestyle that gives you metabolic flexibility and reduces your inflammation. And it's like, stay away from sugar. Just don't do it.
Right. Yeah. Good advice. And I mean, I think that what you're talking about is kind of the science behind people's understanding of inflammation. Like a lot of us have heard of that, but don't necessarily know how that impacts, you know, your health.
Yeah. I mean, inflammation is a huge thing. I mean, inflammation happens from eating too much sugar. Mm-hmm. Like you can eat a bunch of sugar and you will start getting inflammation. I mean, inflammation also happens from, you know, not taking care of your microbiome, not eating enough fiber, not, you know, not taking care of that, you know, that population of, you know, of 7 trillion microbes that live in your gut. And actually, you know, that is who you are, because when you think of, like, you know, you have this vagus nerve that goes from your gut to your brain. And that's like the information superhighway that keeps things going. And like, and the thing is like, if you have anxiety, that could be a function of gut health, because your gut is responsible for 90% of your serotonin. You know, your gut is responsible for 75% of your immunity.
Right.
And take care of that. And so a lot of people, you know, I think what's interesting to me is like, people are like, well, I have leaky gut. It's leaking. And I'm like, well, it's like leaky gut is, so a lot of people don't understand what leaky gut is. Like leaky gut is where the lining, you have this lining on the inside of your gut. It's called mucosa. And so the mucosa is like this, this lining, right? This mucus that lines the inside of your intestines that protects your blood, protects your body from having things leaking out of your, you know, out of your intestines, right? And so if you're not eating enough fiber, if you don't have enough food for your microbiome, they start eating the mucosa. And so, or the mucosa, sorry. And so the mucosa, once that becomes depleted and you don't have that protective layer anymore, that's when bacteria can start getting into your bloodstream. Thus, the cytokines gets released. They start attacking the area because, hey, I got to protect this. This is, we're a foreign object. And that's what causes inflammation.
Yeah, right. So to the heart of it, cut out sugar. Can you make some suggestions as far as how people cut out sugar and what some of the healthy options are? And I am all about all, please talk about your products. And if you would, what is in them? What makes them natural? And why are they good alternatives?
Well, thanks. Thank you for the softball. So stevia, I mean, that stevia I got into like a long time ago, and stevia is super interesting to me because the sweet constituents that are in the plant, in that plant, are called the stevioglycosides. And there's a variety of different stevioglycosides that you can use for different, you know, different things. Like, you know, like the highest concentrated one is going to be called rhabdoside A. So I would say if you can replace sugar with stevia or even with monk fruit, but it's super concentrated. So you're only going to be able to use a tiny bit. So for cooking and baking, you might run into some challenges, right? Because you're losing a lot of volume. So where you're going to be using a like an eighth of a teaspoon equals a cup of sugar. So if you are, you know, if you're replacing a whole entire cup with an eighth of a teaspoon, you're going to be losing a ton of volume. So you can replace that volume. You can use stevia and you can use monk fruit. You can replace that volume with like unsweetened apple, applesauce. Mm-hmm. And that works great for baking. But if you are a person that's like, nah, I don't want applesauce, I don't like apples, then, I mean, there's other options. Like you can get blends of stevia, monk fruit, and erythritol. And erythritol is an alcohol sugar that's made from a enzymatically treated glucose substrate. So basically you ferment it and voila, you've got erythritol. But there's one sweetener that for the past 5 years, I have really, really been investing a lot of time, money, and effort into, and that's allulose. Mm. And so allulose is actually a rare sugar, right? And it exists in nature in very small amounts, but you can take actual like corn syrup or a starch or anything that has a carbohydrate in it, and you can inoculate it with a particular bacteria, and the fermentation process, the metabolite that comes out of that, it's basically the poop from the bacteria is allulose. And so allulose and erythritol, they're both about 70% as sweet as sugar. So we add a tiniest bit of erythritol and or monk fruit to allulose and to erythritol. So it's on parity with sugar. So you can use it as an actual sugar substitute in baking and cooking, you know, anywhere you would just use sugar. My preference is using allulose. And the reason allulose for me is so interesting is because it's considered a saccharide. And saccharides are sugars, right? So mm-hmm. It does things that sugars do, like it caramelizes. It nice. Acts as a humectant, which means it holds things together. Mm-hmm. So for me, the most exciting probably sugar replacement that I have worked with that's all natural, doesn't have any side effects, is allulose, and coupling it with some stevia and some monk fruit.
Yes. And you know, I'll just share with you, I created my own special lemonade. I made
wow,
a sparkle.
Nice,
isn't that so nice? I thought you'd enjoy that.
You.
It
oh,
is
yeah.
so good because I mean, like most people and everybody listening, like we like the taste of sweet, right? So,
you, oh, yeah.
And sometimes I'll just put like lemon in water, but a little bit, a little squirt of that just makes it just so yummy. I think drinking water can be really boring, like so much water, right?
Yeah, it can. And that's the thing, like keeping yourself hydrated. is totally critical. Like, particularly if you're in, you know, low carb, high protein, or like keto, you have to hydrate. And I mean, hydration is super important because we're 70% water. And so it makes sense that everything that we consume should be 70% water as well. If you want to stay hydrated, you don't want to dry up like a raisin.
Yeah. So, we need to keep our youthful appearance, right?
I do my best, but age can't be stopped.
Well, you have the benefit of being able to grow a beard, which, right? You know, so you can cover any imperfections in the jawline. Here I am getting all like aesthetic, but you know, really, like, a lot of people care about aging, and sugar ages people. It not just ages them as far as how they look, right, but like on a genetic level. I mean, it's really important to cut out those sugars. Yeah. So you have some projects. You're talking about allulose. And what are some of the other natural sweeteners? You talk about stevia and monk fruit. Are there any others, or did we cover?
Yeah. Stevia, monk fruit, allulose, erythritol, xylitol some. You know, we have xylitol. I don't really recommend xylitol because it's and alcohol sugars in general. You have to become adapted to them. So like the first time that you have erythritol, you could get some stomach upset. And the reason that is because it has a pretty heavy molecular weight. So when it gets into the lower intestine, it has a tendency to draw moisture in, right? Which, you can put the two in. A lot of moisture
in the intestines.
A lot of water activity.
There's a big D word in there, floating around somewhere. There is. Right there,
nasty,
we go.
Yeah. So I mean, that's the xylitol is even a little more pronounced in its ability to do that. But they all have different functions. Like xylitol is great for chewing gum. It's great for toothpaste because it has sort of antimicrobial properties that are great for that type of a purpose. Also, I mean, with erythritol, there's great places for that, like using it as, you know, coatings on the outside of bars or cookies or cakes or anything, like even frostings and stuff, because it is not hygroscopic, means it doesn't draw moisture into it. So it will actually hold up better and extend shelf life. So I think that I work on probably a half a dozen applications every single week. So from bars to cookies to beverages to frozen desserts to, you know, increasing our line of inclusions like chocolate chips, white chocolate chips, and sprinkles. And, you know, I use a different sweetener for different things. You know, I'm just looking for the right sweetener for each application.
Yeah. And it really does become very scientific, you know, and we're using, as you know, your Monk Sweet Plus in our products. We've been using it for, I know, it's so good. We've been using it. I reformulated our products about, I don't know, at least 3 years ago.
Okay.
And started incorporating it. And then we're coming out with some, so I'll definitely get to talk with you offline about this, but we're starting to create some granola clusters. And also meal bars. Our meal bars are zero net carbs. So those are keto friendly.
Good.
Not all of our products are, little something different, but definitely with the idea of keeping sugars out. So your products, what I love is that they taste really good. You know, I just got samples of your chocolate sweet bits, I think is what you call them, your little chocolate chips.
Yeah, those are really good. Yeah, those are solid. And we should have, I think we'll have the white chips, I'm hoping not next week, but the week after, and then marshmallow. We've got the toasted marshmallow chips that are going to be coming in a couple of weeks. I'm working on a cinnamon chip. We've got funfetti, which is a word now. So we have funfetti colored sprinkles and chocolate sprinkles. So a couple years ago, I'm like, you know what? I mean, we can keep doing sweeteners. We're always going to be a sweetener company, but inclusions are kind of a carrier for our sweetener. And there's really not a lot of competition out there. So for, you know, people that are making cookies and you know, frozen desserts and bake mixes and stuff like that, a lot of them are using conventional, you know, inclusions that have sugar. And it was one of the biggest risks I ever took. So like when my first round of chocolate chips, I had to commit to 200,000 pounds of chocolate chips. It was almost $1 million. And yeah. I was like, I really feel like this is a good place for us to be. You know, and I had a year to use that 200,000 pounds up, and we were sold out in 20 days. And I'm like, oof.
You did great on that. And I will just say, like, I have been like hoping and praying for a company like yours, because the reason is, like, everybody loves sweets. Like, people love chocolate. And, you know, if there was a healthy way to do it, a lot of people would change that. And so I'm kind of on that front lines with you. I have products that I use them in to, because if you think about it, Tom, these things are tools for people. Like, you can have tools for all kinds of things, but if you can start, like, cycling out the sugar, and sometimes it's a little bit of a taste bud adjustment, right? It's kind of like, yeah, I don't eat sour cream, but I use non-fat Greek yogurt. Tastes the same to me, but maybe to some people it doesn't at first. But, you know, sometimes there is a little bit of a flavor profile adjustment, but it is so, so important. We are not going to get out of this until we either cut sugars out and, like you said, just go whole, or the sugars that we do have, making sure that they are these plant-based, you know, natural sweeteners that do not, you know, I don't know if you mentioned this, I don't think so, but does not impact your blood sugar, right? Does not impact calories. So those things to me are godsends, because America, we're not going to change the fact that we love sugar, that we're addicted to sugar, that we eat tons and tons and truckloads of it every year. So I'm really just super appreciative of the work that you do. And I know, because I have a food business as well, the science that goes behind it, and the investment and the risks that you take, and to have a year to use that, and that huge investment. Like, it's, people don't realize that people like you, the owner of Icon Foods, you're a normal good guy. You've got family, you've got things going on just like everybody else. And I think sometimes people think that, gee, these food companies are these big ambiguous, but they don't realize the risks that you take, and the heart, and the level of, like, the amount of time and everything that goes into it to make that happen is just, I appreciate you greatly.
Thank you.
Very much love your products. So, and this kind of brings me around to a question, something that you said that I just love, which is, you aren't doing well unless you're doing some good. So can you tell me about some of the, obviously you're doing great good with the products that you're making. How are you? And I've read a little bit about the chickens you have for your employees and some of the things that you're doing back at your homestead there. But can you tell me how, like, what are you doing for the community lately?
Well, I'm big about education. So we do, actually, you know, support some specialty schools that are in the area. We also, I don't know, but I mean, I think that this is one thing that, you know, that I really like about the company too, is we've got, an educational policy at our company where we actually pay the full tuition for, any of our employees that want to go back to school.
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, I think education for me is I would have to say, is the most important thing, because I think that an educated population is a free population, you know, where you are able to learn, you know, when you're being BS'd, and where you have confidence in the things that you know to be true. So, I mean, that's one way that I think that we give back. You know, we also give away a lot of product. So if there's people that, you know, reach out to us, like through the Charlie Foundation or through other foundations that, you know, that are all about, you know, helping educate kids on eating better, donate a ton of product just to, you know, so people can learn about cooking better, you know, sugar-free meals. But I think that, I mean, that goes back to just understanding a person's why, you know, like, why did I do this? Like, and why do I get up every morning and go to work? And, you know, why do I continue on? Right. And I think that my why, and I mean, this is something that I meditate on a daily basis, is like, why? Mm-hmm. And it is to come from a space of contribution, right? And it is coming from a space of what legacy do I want to leave behind? What is it that I want, you know, what is it that I want to be remembered for? You know, do I want to be remembered for, oh, he's got a fancy car or a big house or, you know, whatever rich people have? Like, do you want to be known for that? Or do you want to be known for, hey, you know, I got a call from a woman who said that her son, you know, had a brain tumor and used a ketogenic diet and used some of our products, and that brain tumor actually shrunk and went away. I mean, or somebody who calls and says, you know, my father was 200 pounds overweight, diabetes, lost his foot, and now he's 165, you know, and doesn't have diabetes anymore. I mean, when I hear stories like that, or when I go to a trade show and somebody comes up to me and wraps their arms around me and gives me a big hug and says, oh my God, your book totally changed my life. Those are the things, that's my why. And that's why I get up in the morning when I see that I've had a positive impact on the world. And so what I would say to people that are going to start a business or thinking about doing anything, any kind of a cause, is, you know what, make sure that you're doing good. Because if you're doing good, doing well is going to happen. You know, if you're doing the right thing, you know, abundance is going to come your way. So just do the right thing, do good, you know, be kind to people, show grace, love, express yourself, you know, self-acceptance, accept other people, you know, just do those things, be a good person.
Absolutely. And I think one thing that took me a long time to realize is that the good that you do creates such a ripple. People don't recognize the ripple. Like, yes, you help these families, but it also put them in a position, like the gentleman that lost all that weight and the little child with the brain tumor, is that goodness that you did for them gets amplified into other people's lives. And it's, I wish there was like some way to measure that. I'd be like, yes. Yes, yeah. We did that good, and then it rippled, and we got 180% ripple on that goodness that just went into the universe. So great.
Somebody needs to come up with an equation for the butterfly effect.
Yes.
I mean, because that's literally, I mean, what it is the butterfly effect. Like, a butterfly flaps its wings in Indonesia, and then there's a hurricane in Florida. So, I mean, the butterfly effect is a real thing, and you know, and I'm always shocked, like really shocked when I'm at a trade show and somebody comes up to me and is like, oh my God, and like freaks out. Cause I'm like, what? Me? I did that? Oh, and
right.
You know, it's hard for me to really wrap my head around, but it is, if you do good, it really, there's that butterfly effect or that ripple that just, it just rips through, you know, the universal energy.
Yeah, it really does. And it is a thing, and thoughts are things. And, you know, that's kind of some people aren't quite familiar with all of that, but I think it's definitely been part of my path, and I knew yours as well, because we tend to know these things about each other, right?
The secret handshake.
What's that? Secret handshake. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. So what is, if we could just, I would love to hear just kind of a final question. Mm-hmm. And then I want to hear about how people can contact you as well. Yeah. But what kind of advice, just last piece of advice you might give to a person, that you wish that you had known earlier in your life, but that has really resonated with you now?
Oof. That you are the sum of the five people closest to you. Mm. So choose wisely. Surround yourself with people that are supportive. Surround yourself with people that are like-minded, yet force you to grow. And don't get stuck in comfortable situations, right?
Yeah.
Always get comfortable with always being a little uncomfortable, because that means that you're growing.
Exactly right, but not painful or shameful, just comfortable, a little uncomfortable.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Oh, well, how can people reach you if they want to try some of your products? Can you share that?
Sure. If you want to see like the mad science behind everything, you can just go to Icon Foods, iconfoods.com, or follow us on, follow us on LinkedIn. That's where you see like the inner workings of what we're up to as far as the company goes. If you want to see my side hustle, though, then that's where, you know, things get a little silly. But if you want to see my side hustle, go to Guy Gonquito, guygonquito.com, or you can find me on any of the socials, at guygonquito.com, and you drop me a direct message. I'm really good at getting back to people. And, you know, if you are interested in our products at all, you know, and you're an influencer, you know, we love to, you know, we love to get our products in the hands of influencers so we can get their opinions on them. So guygonquito.com.
Well, great.
#guygonquito.
#guygonquito. Yes. Yeah, so, yes. And people, I know you have a couple specials on your website that people can check out, some of your keto sauces and things like that. Mm-hmm. So that's really good. And they are delicious. So I will, am one of your influencers. So I will, put good. Me to work, Tom.
We have a lot of new products in the queue, but there's two of them that I think that are spectacular. Like, we created a spicy garlic ketchup that is, it's phenomenal. Like, it spoiled me. I can't have anything else. And then we also have a spicy barbecue sauce that is really spicy. So if you like spicy, you should be able to try that. But I've got so many other products in the queue. Like, I've got cocktail mixes, margarita mix, pina colada mix that's in the queue. We're releasing the white chips and the toasted marshmallow chips. So that, just if you sign up for our newsletter, or you follow us on any of the socials, your people will know exactly what we've got and when it's coming out. And we're always looking for testers. So
that's great. And I will say, just in case any of my clients or followers have questions, is it all of your products do fit within the coaching that I do, the nutrition coaching and everything? They are all very consistent and safe and healthy for people if they don't have, you know, like medical issues. Like, I think there's one with a little bit more sodium. But everything as far as sugar content is completely completely just fine. Tom, I was referring to, there was a teriyaki sauce that had a little more sodium than that most people can eat. But if you have a sodium issue, that's the only thing I wanted to bring up, is just to look at that one. But yeah, they're all super.
I reformulated that.
Oh, you did. Okay.
So the new formulation that's coming out, we moved from using a tamari sauce to using coconut aminos. And I think we cut the sodium like more than half. And it just really increased the quality of the product. So it's things like this that really help me, you know, where it's like, hey, can you cut back sodium? Can you do this? That helps me so much when somebody makes a comment on the product on how we can improve it. Because when people are like, oh yeah, it's delicious and amazing. Well, that's super nice. And I appreciate hearing that. But the thing that helps me be better is when somebody says, you know, hey, have you thought of doing this or cutting back the sodium or increasing the fat or, you know, whatever. Those are the things that really help me. So thank you for that.
Yeah, great. Thank you. That was like my only thought. So I'm so glad you did that. And I was thinking coconut aminos, great. I think like the Bragg's liquid aminos, also very high in sodium. So it sounds like you made an awesome choice. So thank you being ahead of the curve on that. So anything else you want to leave us with, Tom, before we part ways, sadly?
Just do good. Do well. Show grace. Love one another.
Yeah, I love that. And I adore you. And thank you for being here. You have made my day. I know that your ripple will reach many.
Well, thank you so much for that, Tony. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Tom. You have a wonderful, wonderful day. And I'm sure our paths will cross again soon.
Oh, 100%. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.